gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. It is written, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability, and went on his journey. It is written, straightway he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made other 5 talents. In like manner he also that received the 2 gained other 2. It is written, but he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them. And he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Lo, I have gained other 5 talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Come, friends, sing of the faith that's so dear to me, revealed through God's Son in Galilee. He brought peace on earth and goodwill to the sons of men. Go tell it to the world, her King reigns again. Crucified, thus he suffered and bled for me. Death and the grave won sin's victory. Then the sky grew dark, and the temple veil rent in twain. Rocks rent and angels came, for he lived again. At his feet, on old Olivet's hill, they say, cloud chariots halted, took Christ away. Then the angels came, and to wondering disciples said, he'll come, and earth and sea shall yield up. They're dead.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled, The Man from the Far Country. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, called unto him his own servants, and divided unto them his goods. And then after a long time returned, called them again unto him to see how they fared. However, there seems to be in the background of the story so many suggestions of Christian doctrine that cannot be missed. Jesus is obviously the man who went to the far country of heaven. And we may be curious as to how far away is that far country. For the Christian, the far country is much closer than you might think. When we read Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus have ye that were once afar off been made nigh by the blood of Christ. It appears for the Christian that heaven is really close by. Consider now what the man from the far country did for his servants. He divided his goods. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. The Greek word for servants in this case is bondservant or slave. They were his slaves because he bought them. Paul tells us that we are not our own, for we have been bought with a price. Many who are bought with that price like to sing, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Everything we have was given to us by the Lord. Some have been given the gift of thought, the gift of intellect, the gift of organization. Some have been given the power of voice. Some have been given the gift of time. Some have been given the power to make wealth. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy 8:18, "The Lord thy God hath given thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his kingdom." Whatever gift has been given, God expects us to use it for his glory. Paul reminds us, we all are different, in 1 Corinthians 15:41, when he said, "One star differeth from another in glory." Paul asks, what makes you different from anybody else? And what do you have that you did not receive from above? If you received it, there is no need to glory in yourself. Everything you have was given to you by the Lord, except one thing. Your sin was your own, and the man from the far country had nothing to do with that. So the man from the far country gave his servants gifts. Everything we have has been given to us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." In this story, the man from the far country gave the various gifts to his servants and straightway went on his journey. Straightway seems to indicate the man from the far country was in a big hurry to go back to the far country from whence he came. After Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead, he did not tarry too long down here before he ascended back to the far country he had left. The country he left when Paul tells us about it in Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, being obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. After his resurrection, he remained on earth only 40 days, instructing the apostles, giving them the great commission, telling them to go into all the world and preach the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection to every creature, telling them who believe the story to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he ascended back to heaven. About a year before this, he asked the question to the apostles and others in John chapter 6, verse 62. "What then, if you would behold the Son of Man ascending up where he was before?" Now, what was the "what then" of the ascension? According to Mark, when the Lord received up into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So then, the "what then" of the ascension is the fact that Jesus is still working with us today as we preach the gospel everywhere. Then there is the "what then" of his ascension in the Gospel of Luke. "And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was carried up into heaven. Just before he ascended, he said, 'Behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until ye be clothed with power from on high.' The power from on high was given 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, and it was on that day the church was established." And that is the "what then" of the ascension in Luke. What then was the what then in Hebrews 4:14. Having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, the answer quickly follows. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. The program of the ascended Christ is to serve as our intercessor before the Father in providing the grace and mercy that I personally need every hour of the day. And that is the what then of the ascension of Jesus in Hebrews. What then was the what then of the ascension when he ascended in Acts chapter 1? And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel that said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. But he did not tell them when he would return. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, But of that day and hour no one knoweth, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son of Man, but the Father only. We will all find out the moment when Jesus will return at the same time. In Revelation 1, verse 7, John tells us, Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. Until then, no one knows when Jesus will come, not even the preachers, who are always setting dates and making predictions. And that is the what then of the ascension of Jesus. Now, when Jesus ascended, someone has made up this imaginary story, this scenario, about the arrival of the Lord in heaven after his ascension. In that story, the angels gather around him and ask where he's been. He tells them about the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection that will save the world. The angels say, Lord, how will the world know about that salvation? Jesus tells them that he has left 12 men to tell the story. The angels say, Well, Lord, what if those men fail? Jesus then says, If they fail, I have no other plans. In the meanwhile, as soon as the man from the far country went back to the far country, back here on earth, the servants who received the talents went out and straightway traded with them. They did not waste any time getting started. Straightway. Ladies and gentlemen, as a servant of the Lord, if you don't do your job straightway, you may never do it. If a church or individual has not grown in 5 years, it is a pretty good chance they will never grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Straightway he went out and traded with them. The talents referred to in this parable was a sum of money, and the man who returned from the far country mentioned the money the one talent man had buried. He told that one-talent man that if nothing else was done, at least he could have put the money in the bank and drawn interest. However, although the talent was a sum of money, the man from the far country in the parable gave the various amounts according to their several abilities. So in that sense, we need to think of our gifts, not as money, but also as the various talents that have been given to us. Peter speaks of our gifts of talent when he says, "Each man hath received a gift, ministering it among you as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." After a long time, the man from the far country returned and called his servants and made a reckoning with them. The first came before him with the news that his 5 talents had gained other 5 talents. The man with the 2 also reported he also had doubled his gift. Both were commended. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things." One man, one time, facing the end of his life on earth, looked back over his life and said he had not done much for the Lord. I was trying to encourage him and recited some of the things he had done, and his reply to me was, "That's what you say. But I'm wondering, what will the Lord say?" Many of us may feel the same way, and feel as though we have done very little. And in such case, we need to remember what Isaiah said of himself in the 49th chapter. Then he said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with God." Ladies and gentlemen, it may be that the Lord may point out on that day that we did a lot more than we thought we were doing. What the Lord will say outweighs everything else. In 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, 7th verse, the apostle says, "The proof of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It is good to receive compliments from our fellow creatures, but that is nothing compared to the praise, honor, and glory given by Jesus to us when he comes. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful." He did not say, "Well done, thou fantastic servant," but "faithful servant." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, "Moreover, in a steward, it is required that a man be found faithful." Think about that. Think about what the man from the far country said about their work. He said they had been faithful over a few things. Regarding God's plan of salvation, Paul said, "Eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for us." That principle can be applied to heaven. We have no idea of the glory that shall be revealed on that day. Then he told them, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Just what would it be like to share in the glory of the Lord? Paul says in Hebrews, "Seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus could look beyond the cross because he knew after all the suffering what lay beyond. He endured for the joy of sitting down by the right hand of the throne of God. That same Jesus has told us, if we overcome, we too shall sit down on his throne, even as he overcame and sat down on the Father's throne. So learn to despise all your problems that come to you and troubles for doing God's will. Heaven will be worth it all. When you hear the man from the far country say, Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But it says the man with the one talent dug the earth and hid his Lord's money. This man dug a hole not only for the money, but he dug a great big hole for himself. In 2 Peter, the apostle says in the 2nd chapter of the 4th verse, he reminds us that the angels, God did not spare the angels that fell, but committed them to pits of darkness. The man with one talent dug a pit for himself and was cast into darkness. He told the man from the far country that he was afraid, and that's why he hid his Lord's money. Ladies and gentlemen, fear paralyzes the tongue, especially in the matter of preaching any scripture people do not want to hear. In 1 Samuel 15, King Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Then Samuel said to Saul, The Lord has rejected you from being king. King Saul lost his crown because he feared the people. And then there is that reminder in Revelation to the Christian, Revelation 3, where the Lord warned the church at Philadelphia, Let no man take thy crown. Many a servant will explain the disobedience to him on that day, to that man from the far country, by those same words as the man who dug that great big hole. I was afraid. The man from the far country asked, Why didn't you not put my money to the bankers, and I would have received back mine own with interest? That is the crux of the problem. The person who dug the hole had no interest in the business of the man from the far country in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, we see it in many areas. The reason most people in most congregations never read the Word of God with any regularity is because they have no interest. What about regularity at the Lord's table? The same reason. They have no interest. Evidently, the man from the far country judges us as individuals, not as a corporate organization. In Romans 12, Paul reminds us, For even as we have many members in one body, we all have different members in the body also, and we are members of the body severally one of another. When one member of the church does nothing, it is like a withered hand on the body of Christ. In some cases, the body of Christ is paraplegic. The man from the far country could have told how it was the man who had five talents. He could have said the man who had five talents dug a hole and hid his Lord's money. And we are left wondering, if the man with the one talent received such drastic punishment, what must it be like for the five-talent man to make the same mistake? Someone has said in these lines, He made no mistake. He took no wrong road. He never fumbled the ball. He never went down neath the weight of a load. He simply did nothing at all. He lost no hard fight in defense of the right. Never bled with his back to the wall. He never felt faint in his climb to the light. He simply did nothing at all. So death came nigh and life slipped by, and he feared for the judgment hall. When they asked him why, he said with a sigh, I simply did nothing at all. So God will pardon your blunder, my friend, and regard with pity your fall. But the thing that will tell and send you to hell is to simply do nothing at all. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, and next week at the same time, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just prayer away.